Here.
Carol. Carol
here.
Carlson?
Here.
She was on mute. Sorry. Okay. Josie.
Here.
Brenda.
Here.
Ingrid.
Here.
Daly.
Here.
Samantha.
Here.
Logan.
Yes.
Tom.
Yes.
Okay, we have a quorum. Welcome back, everybody. People to have as public.
We have Henry and myself, Roxanne.
Thank you. Nelson Lagoon?
Just me.
Thank you. Balls pass.
Tom, Nicole.
Thank you. Akitab.
Just myself.
Thank you. Colbe.
Daly and Angela.
Okay, thank you. Anchorage.
Yes, Mayor Osterbach, you have myself, Annie Bailey, Ernie Weiss, Kelly Isham with AECOM, Lenora Dushkin, Carol Foster, and Laura Tannis.
Standpoint.
For public, we have Glenn Gardner. For staff, we have Amon Lovak, Mary Teshi, Charlotte Levy. Mayor Osterbach is here, and family members, Ingrid Cumberledge, Paul Grunholt. We have our youth representative, advisory, Logan Thompson.
Okay. Thank you. And Tommy, welcome aboard, and Samantha. So, next we got the adoption of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we move to adopt the agenda that's in our packet with two small additions. And the first one is on the front page of the agenda, adding one word. The word is increased, and that word goes between and state in the second line on our agenda. And it also part of the consent agenda, so it would also be incorporated in the resolution on the title of the resolution and that at the end of the resolution, same thing, just adding one word.
So you're talking about resolution 1932?
1932.
So where do you want to add a word?
It's second sentence. It says reimbursement and the new word would be increased. And then state aid, everything else is the same. Just a minor change.
Okay. And one other one?
And it's in the language, too. And then also, just adding what we talked about in the workshop under item number 11, discussion about the borough and the board of fish and who's going, some general discussion on the last third item under, making a new third item under 11.
Okay. Any other additions or corrections to the agenda? Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I don't know if this is the right. Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead.
It's Tom Falfass. I don't know if this is the right time, but can I? We wanted to add this new state ferry onto the agenda. Is this the appropriate time to do that? Okay.
Sure. That would be under new business. How do you want to add it? Do you have wording?
I don't have wording. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, when the new ferry came online that we'd be able to accommodate that at our facility.
Discussion about discussion.
Yeah. So we'll have new state ferry discussion. Okay. Anything else? Anyone? Okay. With those three additions, is there any objections to adopting the agenda as amended? Hearing none, the agenda will stand as amended. Okay. Do we have any public comment on agenda items at this time? Okay. Hearing none. So, on the assembly, does anyone here feel they have a conflict of interest on any of the items on the agenda? Hearing none. Okay, we have the first presentation, the only presentation that we have now is Kelly from Hazard Mitigation.
Yes, Mayor Osterbach, this is Annie. Yes, we have Kelly Isham with AECOM here to talk about the multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan.
All right. Again, this is Kelly Isham. I'm with AECOM here in Anchorage. Definitely want to thank Mayor Osterbach and the assembly members for allowing me to present here. I do apologize for not having any handouts or visual aids for you guys. I do intend on getting something to Ms. Bailey here pretty shortly. Just for your general review, and certainly not super time sensitive, but we will talk a little bit about the timing of this mitigation plan. AECOM is under contract with the State of Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management to provide mitigation plans to several communities throughout Alaska. The Aleutians East Borough is one of them. What that means is that we are going to provide a FEMA-approvable mitigation plan, which enables the borough and any community within the borough that also adopts the plan to be eligible for FEMA funds. This plan is good for 5 years after adoption, and at that time it can be up for update again. Many communities throughout Alaska originally had a mitigation plan in the early 2000s. It was first required to receive funding obviously, after September 11th, 2001, a need for this plan came up. In essence, what the mitigation plan does, it outlines a community or community's plan to work toward a higher level of resilience through mitigation activities. What it enables the community to do is apply for funding, sometimes 100% federal funding, sometimes 75% federal funding, where the state of Alaska at times will pick up the other 25% of the cost share. Either way, it does enable communities to put forth general fund money and, you know, capital improvement money toward projects that need to happen that protect the community for years to come, and obviously they get to do it at a fraction of the price as versus having to pay for it completely out of pocket. At this point, we're getting toward the end of the grant with the state of Alaska. We have this plan pretty well in hand. Again, like I said, I will be putting something out to the borough and to all the communities so that they can review it, give a little bit of insight into the mitigation actions. This will enable each community to kind of say what exactly their plan would be. If money weren't a consideration, what would you want to act on to protect your community the most? A lot of communities will look at transportation facilities, whether it's a port that is aging and needs some work, or whether it is public facilities that need protection against volcanic debris or earthquakes or tsunamis, etc. So we will put that out. We will give some examples that you can kind of look at and go, yeah, we like the wording of that. We just want to put in our schools or any sort of other public facility. As we can see recently, the Municipality of Anchorage, the Mat-Su Borough, and the Kenai Peninsula Borough collectively sustained around $100 million worth of damage from the earthquake on November 30th. The federal government has promised to help support that. However, we understand that, you know, mitigation by spending $1 on the front end, you avoid having to spend many more dollars than that during response and recovery. So that it makes it very important. Sometimes people view these mitigation plans since they are not required. It is not a comprehensive plan that is required to be a city. It's not a capital improvement plan that you definitely need for a city. It is something a little bit extra, but it is required for receiving some of these federal funds. So we try to make it more usable. We want each community to be able to refer back to the plan throughout its 5 years and constantly look at what they can do for the future to, again, make sure that those dollars are better spent. Some communities work up the plans and then over the 5 years don't apply for any sort of funding with the federal government. That's not why we do these plans. We definitely want to make each community more available to that money. The Disaster Response and Recovery Act of 2018 has now been signed into law by the federal government. It enables the federal government, instead of relying on congressional approval to assign pre-disaster mitigation money that this plan makes you available for, it actually changes that to a roughly 6% share of all public assistance from the year prior. So this year is one of the largest years for PDM funding throughout the country, and it's sitting at $261 million. This DRRA of 2018 makes it so that the FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, would next year get roughly several billion dollars. So it's significantly more money than they've gotten in the past. But again, the push is for community resilience, and we know that a lot of Alaskan communities are very resilient already, but we're hoping that with the addition of federal funding, certainly well before some sort of an incident happens, it makes our communities even more resilient. So again, I apologize that you don't have any of this information in front of you. We will be sending something out very shortly, which has, again, kind of our guidelines for mitigation actions. We have the goals, which cover, for the most part, five distinct natural hazards, and then goals that kind of bring those hazards together. But, again, we are looking at earthquakes, flooding, ground failure, severe weather, and volcanic activity. Certainly, some communities experience some of these hazards more than others, you know, depending on, you know, which side of an island you happen to be on. You certainly deal with different hazards than someone else who might not be that far away. And while we understand that we are trying to make this plan well covering each community, but then also distinctly specific for each community as well. So certainly as we get information out to you, you know, you can certainly contact myself and with any sort of questions or comments. If the federal government was not shut down, when we submit our plan to the state does a quick review before sending it to FEMA, and then FEMA takes a month and a half or 45 days. They say that's their maximum. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But we know that it's going to be a little bit longer here. So I'll try to get information out to you guys, and at your leisure, please look through it and certainly get back to me, you know, with any of those questions or comments. But certainly at this time, if anyone has any questions, I would be more than happy to answer those for you.
Okay. Thank you. Assembly, have questions? Paul?
Just a quick one. I'm looking at the website while he was talking. Is that website not quite current then?
Which website are you referring to, sir?
Ready.alaska.gov.
Sure. So that's the State of Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management's website. They certainly do have a lot of information that's updated. You can work outside of this activity. You can certainly work with the state as much as possible. They have personnel that can be sent out to local communities to help with a lot of the outreach activities, some of the training availability as well. And while they do have a mitigation team as part of their planning section, which is who I actually used to work for, that team has contracted us to go out only because there's not too many of them that work for their state, but my company has a few more personnel that we're able to utilize. But that information is up to date, but they generally don't have any of the plans on that website. The DCRA does keep a database of plans. A lot of community plans, some of these mitigation plans make it on there as well. And if you Google the DCRA and look at their plans library, they do have a lot of those plans that not only our company has completed, but other companies as well, and other communities that have chosen to do a mitigation plan or an update by themselves.
Just a really quick one. I missed the company you're with. What company is that?
Of course. It's AECOM, which is just the letter A, the letter E, C-O-M. And they didn't tell me what it stands for yet, so I got to work there longer.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else have questions on the presentation? Okay. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Okay. Next item is the minutes, so we need a motion and a second to bring it on the floor. Are you guys out there? I need a motion and a second to bring the minutes on the floor. We'll get them.
So move, Ingrid.
Okay. Second by Paul. Motion by Ingrid, second by Paul. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes?
Mayor Osterbeck, if I may, this is Annie.
Yes.
I just wanted to clarify. I know I discussed this during the work session, but during my presentation, so on page 5, during the school district contribution information, I had referenced $2 million in tax levy, which instead it was supposed to be 2 mil, which is M-I-L-L, which is the tax rate that's applied to the assessed value of a property. So I just wanted to clarify, it's not 2 million, it's 2 mil.
Okay. Thank you. Any others? Okay. So with that correction, they'll stand. Any objections to adopting the minutes? Minutes will stand as corrected. Item 6, financial report. Annie?
Yes, Mayor. Uh-huh.
I need a motion and a second to bring the financial report.
Minor section.
Nobody was giving me motions anyway. No.
Chris over in King Cove, I make a motion for the financial statements.
Thank you, Chris. And a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you, Carol. Now you can go ahead.
All right. Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, before you said the financials for December 2018, at the work session I just pointed out a few items on the first page under other revenue. It's higher than expected because we received a payment from a seafood processor in August that we weren't anticipating, so that pushed it over a little bit. And also on the state revenue other, the funds we received from the state for the CAP, the Community Assistance Program, was higher than we had originally anticipated. Otherwise, most items are tracking along as they should. Under the Assembly line items, so Department 105, that is higher than some of the others at 77%. That's due to us having the meetings, regular meetings, and so the salaries are a little higher than I think we anticipated, and that's something we'll address in the next budget cycle.
Hi, Roxanne.
Annie, I got a question on the financial statements.
Yes, go ahead.
Under, I think it's Fund 20, I don't know if it's exactly page 4, but under Department 516, we keep seeing this money that we appropriated to the Cold Bay Preschool, but we don't see them using that money. I'm kind of interested in what's going on with the preschool program over there, and how come there's been no invoices sent to Roxanne to spend this money?
So, Assemblymember Grunholt, I have received invoices from them. I have a few questions that I'm working with the City of Cold Bay on, so that should be reflected in either January's or February's, depending on how soon we pay those back or pay those things to the City of Cold Bay. So I do have those. I'm just working on them, and I had a few questions before sending them to Roxanne for payment. So that is moving forward.
For the record, that was Chris.
Yeah, I know I look like Chris, but I don't sound like him. Thanks.
So anyway, Roxanne, do you have anything to add on the financial?
No, I have nothing to add here.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions on the financial? Okay. Hold up.
Carol.
Yes.
Warren.
Yes.
Ingrid.
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes, ma'am.
Chris?
Yes.
Elsie Shangan?
Yes.
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The investment report is there for your review, and if there's any questions, that'd be the time to ask. Paul?
I'm glad the investment company came to the workshop. It was kind of a nice update, current update, so that was great. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Anything else on this item? Okay, I need a motion and a second for the consent agenda.
This is Brenda. Motion to accept the consent agenda.
Thank you, Brenda.
Josie, I second.
Thank you, Josie. Annie.
Yes, Mayor Osbrack, Assembly. Before you are two resolutions in the consent agenda. The first is Resolution 1932 in support of full funding from the state of Alaska for the school bond debt reimbursement and an increase, and increased state aid for construction in regional education attendance areas. I went into this pretty detailed in the work session, but just to recap that the Alaska legislature has provided major maintenance for rural education attendance areas schools through appropriations in the annual capital budget. In 2010, the legislature provided consistent funding priority for rural schools' major maintenance needs by automatically funding major maintenance projects in areas without the ability to bond with a percentage of the school bond debt reimbursement funding. Relying on these programs and the state obligations, Alaska municipalities and regional educational attendance areas have maintained schools and fulfilled municipal responsibilities for the education of our state's most precious resource, which is our children. But in 2015, the legislature responded to a difficult fiscal situation by placing a 5-year moratorium on any new projects being eligible for school bond debt reimbursement, thus giving municipalities and voters across the state notice that bonds sold within the 5-year period would be the sole responsibility of local taxpayers. Some municipalities, in an effort to mitigate the deterioration of the schools during the capital funding moratorium, began allocating local tax revenues to provide funding for the deferred maintenance projects. In 2016, the legislature recognized the state's responsibility to honor the past project funding and appropriated funds to municipalities for school debt reimbursement, as well as major maintenance funds for the regional education attendance areas. And then in 2016, Governor Walker tried to adjust the budget deficit by cutting 25% of the funding for the municipal and rural schools from the appropriation bills using its line item reduction power, and that saved the state approximately $40 million, but the borough itself, the Aleutians East Borough, lost $213,000 roughly as a result of that line item reduction. This is just a resolution of support, so right now with the uncertainty in the state, we just want to just say that here we are, we're supporting this, just the full funding for the school bond debt and also an increase in the state aid for construction for rural attendance areas. Is there any questions on that one? Okay, so the second is Resolution 1933, supporting the full funding for the State of Alaska Harbor Facility Grant Program in the FY 2020 state capital budget. Most of the harbors in Alaska were built in the 1960s and 70s. The state transferred ownership to most of those to municipalities, and you know, they were in poor condition then, and as time's gone on, they are even in more poor condition. So the governor and the legislature in 2016 created the Municipal Harbor Facility Grant Program. For each application, these municipalities have committed to invest 100% for design and permitting costs and then 50% of the construction costs. This year, the borough did not apply, but this resolution would support the municipalities of Anchorage, the city and borough of Juneau, city of Ketchikan, city and borough of Sitka, and the city of Angoon for their FY20 applications. And what they were asking for was approximately $7,400,000, which they will match that. Why I believe this is important is because the borough has applied for these funds before. Also, some of the communities have, and we want to make sure that this program's available in the future when we need it again. Any questions?
Mr. Mayor, I just had a question back on 32 for a second. Paul had mentioned the increase at the "and" in the resolution title, and I think that needed to be added also in the first resolution, first resolved.
I believe, Assemblymember Cumberledge, when Paul made the motion at the agenda, I believe he added that in on the "now therefore be it resolved" part two.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I just didn't hear it.
Okay. Any other questions on 1933? Hearing none, call the question.
Warren.
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Bruce?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda? Yes. Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Logan.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Motion carries. First, we have two ordinances. Annie, ordinance 1905.
Yes, Mayor, I'll start back in assembly. The first ordinance is ordinance 1905, amending Title IV, Chapter 4.12.1 or 010 of the Code of Ordinances. This deals with the elections. After the last regular election, the Assembly discussed amending this portion of the code to not allow a person to run for more than one borough seat or more than one school board seat. Currently, anyone could declare candidacy for two seats on the Assembly as well as two seats for the school board. This would not allow that. However, it would allow an individual to serve on the school board as well as the borough assembly seat. Tina, I don't know, is there anything else you'd like to add to that one?
No, I think you covered it.
Okay. Thank you. So now we need a motion to...
Motion, Ward.
Okay, we have a motion to hold and set for our next meeting.
Second.
Second by Ingrid.
Is that Warren?
Pardon? Warren? Yeah, I think so.
Mr. Mayor?
Paul?
During the workshop, we talked about maybe a companion ordinance, and maybe next meeting, if our staff is able to, they can have another version, if appropriate. But apparently we had time, so we talked about sharing that it included everything, but... I think it's a good ordinance, and I'll certainly hope it moves along to the next meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, during our workshop, we had quite a discussion on this one, and basically there will probably be a companion ordinance introduced in the next meeting or so, dealing with other portions of it, which would be mayor and mayor and running along with an assembly member as assembly member. Anyway, is there any other discussion on this? I know we've already had a lot of it. Okay. Call the motion to schedule.
Chris.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Josie.
Yes.
Warren Wilson?
Yeah, we had a phone ringing over here. Sorry. Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We need a motion and a second to schedule ordinance 1906 for public hearing at our next regular meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ingrid.
I'll second it.
I'll second it.
By Carol. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I'll start back in the assembly. Before you use ordinance 1906, amending AEB code section 6.04.041, subsection E, which is the investment section. We had APCM come earlier during the work session to explain this, but essentially this is to amend the borough's asset classes and add a few more for diversification. Completing this amendment would allow APCM to incrementally reduce risk without materially changing the return expectations of the asset allocation that the borough selected. The proposed changes are here outlined in your packet. They're redlined. So they're basically going to add global infrastructure equities, U.S. Treasury inflation protected securities, domestic equities, and some commodities. And the target measures have also been changed, which are shown in here. and the performance of the investments that the investment that APCM will follow for those new asset classes have been included in here as well. You know, as they mentioned earlier, that right now it's a volatile market, and he had mentioned just briefly that the rough estimate, even though we don't have the December report for our investments, it dropped down probably 5 to 6% in December, and it's slowly working its way up through January. But by diversifying, we could probably control that a little bit more. If there's any questions.
Any questions for Annie? Hearing none. Question on...
Yeah, just during the workshop, we talked about this, and at a December workshop in Anchorage, we had a good presentation on this addition to our investment strategy, and it seemed to be a consensus that it was a very good idea, and I think everybody seems to think it is. So I think it's a good idea. Thanks.
Okay. Any other comments? All questions on setting the public hearing?
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Yes. Ingrid?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Sophie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, before us we have four resolutions. The first one, Resolution 1934, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with LCG Landtech, Inc. to provide architectural engineering services for the Cold Bay Clinic project in an amount not to exceed $30,000. We need a motion and a second.
So moved. This is Carol.
I'll second it, Chris.
Okay, motion by Carol, second by Chris. Annie, do you want Mary to take this one? Her name is on it.
Sure. Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. So Resolution 1934 is in front of you for your consideration. This will authorize the mayor.
Can she speak up, please? We can barely hear her.
Resolution 1934 is in front of the Assembly for your consideration. It will authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with LCG Landtech to provide architectural and engineering services for the Cold Bay Clinic project in an amount not to exceed $30,000. So as you know, the borough has committed to constructing the Cold Bay Clinic project. This is a borough priority for several years and is on our strategic plan. Larson Consulting Group, which is now LCG Landtech, Inc., and ENTHC developed drawings, specifications, and a cost estimate for the new facility in 2013. That design was for an estimated 2017 construction period, but as you know, last couple of years, some of the codes have changed, and so basically what we want LCG to do for us is do a code update to make sure that for 2020 construction, everything is up to date and we're ready to break ground. So that's what this proposal will do. In addition to that, we also are having them do a value engineering analysis, and that will help us determine if there's any sort of materials or building processes that we can change in order to either cut costs or make the building more energy efficient that will help reduce costs for operations in the future for the City of Cold Bay. So that's pretty much it for this resolution. If you have any questions, I am happy to answer them for you at this time. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. Any questions?
I have a question, Mayor. This is Chris.
Hold on, Chris. Paul got one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just that the Assembly's always been supportive of trying to get a new clinic and have a good modern clinic in that hub, call it a hub of Cold Bay, and I think this is another step closer. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Chris?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Will this information be available to the borough assembly members after this is all done, Mary?
You bet.
Okay. Any other questions for Mary? Okay. Hearing none. And, you know, for the assembly, too, I think, you know, with what's developing in Falls Pass, it's with the amount of folks that are going to be there and the processing industry and probably more boats through that area, it's probably getting more important to get this clinic in the Cold Bay area. So with that, if there's no other questions, question on the board?
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Tom? Tom? Tom Hoblett?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, that's on mute. Sorry.
Samantha?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes. Okay, thank you. Well, we're glad when you get these phones fixed. It seems like your voice is taking longer to get out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Resolution 1935, Assembly selecting and promoting capital projects for health, safety, and welfare of its residents. We need a motion and a second.
Mr. Mayor, I move Resolution 1935 with the following addition, requesting state support, adding an item 2 for the Accoons.
Second.
Okay.
Paul, can you say again what you wanted to add? We couldn't hear all of it.
Oh, just under right after King Cove Road, add an item 2. King Cove Road is number 1. Number 2 is Accoon Breakwater, and it's under the projects requesting state support. It's including it.
Can I, Mayor Osterbach, if I can I add that, could we make that say a Coon Breakwater and Dock?
Yes, I think that's what I meant.
That's what he said. Okay. With that, we have a motion. Any discussion?
I'll second it. This is Chris.
About this item in the workshop, too, and there's general support. There's been general support for all these items for quite a few years, and I think it's a good resolution. Thank you.
Okay. I had a motion this second. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. If there's no other discussion, question on the motion?
Josie?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda? Brenda? Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Before us, we have Resolution 1936 authorizing a temporary construction easement and a donation to the state of Alaska for the construction of the Sand Point Ferry Dock Terminal. We need a motion and a second.
So moved. This is Carol.
Okay,
second.
By Carol. Second by?
Second by Josie.
Okay. Annie?
Mr. Mayor, officer back in assembly. Before you tonight, Resolution 1936, this is to authorize a temporary construction easement and a donation to the state of Alaska for the construction of the Sand Point Dock Ferry Terminal. The state of Alaska Department of Transportation Public Facilities is preparing to construct the Sand Point Dock Ferry Terminal. As part of this project, DOT needs to obtain a temporary access during construction to the tideland survey owned by the city of Sand Point and the borough. The city has an interest, a four-fifths interest in the property, and the borough has a one-fifth interest in the property, and it would be in consideration of $1 and other valuable consideration in hand would convey and warrant DOT to have unrestricted temporary easement over and across the land. This is Tract A of Alaska Tideland Survey 1232, and there's more in-depth description in the packet. But this would allow DOT temporary access to construct and install the new dock. The borough does have good title of the 20% of the property that we own, and the temporary construction easement would be in effect for a period beginning on the starting date of construction and ending at completion of the project, at which time this easement would expire and be of no force in effect. The state will leave the premises in a clean and presentable condition when the construction is completed. So that's in regards to the temporary construction easement. The other portion of this is the borough will need to donate the land described in this development. We've been informed under the federal regulations about this, and DOT or the borough would release DOT from preparing an appraisal of this donated parcel. The city of Sand Point has already signed their agreement, I understand, their portion of it, and this is just something that has to happen for the project to proceed. And with that, if there's any questions.
Thank you, Annie. Any questions for Annie? Okay. Thank you. Call a question.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Horn?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Hogan?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Before us, we have Resolution 1937, Assembly authorizing an amendment to the contract with McClintock Land Associates for the Port Moeller Survey Project. We need a motion and a second.
Make a motion, Warren.
Brenda,
Warren. Second. Thank you, Brenda. Annie, you want Ernie to take this one?
Sure. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, this resolution will authorize an amendment to the contract we have with McClintock for the Port Moeller survey, which is now complete and will allow us to pursue final patent of our municipal entitlement lands in Port Moeller. The contract would be amended to increase the contract amount and also the period of performance. The contract ceiling and the period of performance were put together by, based on an estimate by McClintock, a reasonable and good faith estimate. With these projects, these land survey projects, there's a lot of back and forth with the state, so some things are out of our control, and including this one where they actually had to go back to the survey a year later and install some monuments. And so the amendment will add $10,760.81 for a total now for the contract of $73,008.81 and extends the period of performance to the end of 2018. And I can take any questions.
Any questions from anybody?
Mr. Mayor.
Paul?
Yes. Ernie, during the workshop, Assembly Member Cumberledge asked about the increase. Could you restate what you said at the workshop about how much of an increase this is, just for the record? Thank you.
Thank you, Assembly Member Grunholt, Mr. Mayor. So in June, McClintock realized that we were going to need an amendment and requested such, and he estimated an amount that I put in the memo of $10,900. That was his estimate. It came out lower than that. And so when you add his first the first invoice was for $62,131.02, and then the second invoice was for $10,877.79. That adds up to an increase of $10,760.81, which is a little bit confusing, but there was a difference between the actual amount and the estimated amount.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, hold the question.
Brenda?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Gilsey?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's the end of the resolutions. We don't have any old business before us. Under new business, we have four items. The first one is a Pacific Marine Expo discussion. We talked about this at length in our work session and decided that everyone seemed to decide we need to go forward, have the participate in the Marine Expo again next year with possible changes in some of our advertisements, handouts, and basically most of the material that we have is aged now, and so probably like the basic overhaul of everything that we have to present and hand out at the Expo. So are there other comments on that item?
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. I have to excuse myself. We have last day of starring, so I got to run.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Mr. Mayor, this is Ernie Weiss.
Go ahead.
So each year during the Expo, we often have a meeting at the Silver Cloud, which is also quite an expense. We certainly needed to have it this past year because of the Board of Fish discussions. We don't necessarily have to have that every year, and so as the Assembly moves forward, maybe not today, you may want to think about whether or not we're having that meeting. Thanks.
Okay. I think as we look forward, since we know we're going to have the booth and everything, I don't know. We could work with Laura and see how much time between you and Laura to figure out how much time we have before we have to reserve the room over there for that particular meeting and take a look at where we are after the February meeting and then also what you got coming up in federal fisheries that we may need to have discussions on.
Sounds like a plan.
Just during discussion, Roxanne had mentioned she could get us some feedback on how much it cost in the past, too, so if we could just make sure that gets out.
Yeah, I think, Roxanne, you're supposed to have it by the next meeting, right?
Yes, Mayor Mack, Mayor Osterbach, and Assembly members. It costed about roughly around $10,000.
Okay. If you would, put it on paper so they put it in the packet for the next meeting.
Yes, I can do that.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Mr. Mayor? Yeah, Mr. Mayor, this is Daly over here in Colby. And I'm kind of new on the Assembly. I've been to quite a few of the meetings, but I was just curious. What is the biggest purpose for the booth, and, you know, how much does it benefit us, all of us?
From my point of view, it's always been a benefit to the area. We have so many communities that have different types of facilities, with the boat harbors that are there, there's always vessels coming through, stopping in the areas, utilizing basically any service that you utilize in a community. It's good to have numbers for fuel distributors, stores, companies that exist there. It's a place where each community goes and mans that particular booth. You talk to the fishermen that come through the area, let them know what's new. You know, and to date, we're still building boat harbors, repairing docks. Those things get updated and presented at the booth in Seattle. People have an idea of where you're going. And it basically keeps us on the map with the fishing industry and the others that come through the area. Some of the other booths that's down there, they utilize a lot of it for the tourism part, the cruise ships and things that come through, which we actually don't have. Well, we actually had one in Sandpoint this year, but it got foggy and they left. We didn't even get to see it. I think it's money well spent just because of the services and the communities that we have. I think it's a soft benefit, so it's really hard to put a dollar number on what you gain by it. But I think it's a good practice. Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The meeting that Ernie arranged in the Silver Cloud had excellent turnout. That was by far the best one we've ever had. And it had to do, I think, with the three-year cycle with the board and Mayor Paul's past has been active in construction activities over there. People were curious about that. So that was very good. In the future, who knows if, like Ernie mentioned, it may or may not be necessary next year, but this year was well worth it.
Thank you. Did I answer your question?
Yes,
Warren,
thank you very
much. Warren?
Oh, yeah, another comment on the meeting in Seattle. You know, I know it's just a board cycle, but every year something comes up with the council, the North Pacific Council, where everybody got to get together sometime, and that time might fall into a time frame of when we have our meeting in Seattle, and I know that there is a lot of outer state fishermen that pay their raw fish tax here, and they're able to attend to see what the borough is up to, and we're able to get feedback from them. So I could see this just keep it every year, because there's always issues coming up between Washington and Alaska and all the fisheries that we're participating in. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Warren. And I was actually the one that put it on the agenda. I just wanted to make sure that the support of the borough was still there for it, and I wasn't wandering off in the direction by myself. Thank you.
Hello, Mayor. This is Brenda Wilson.
Yes.
I think that fish expo is very, very important. We've got, like you yourself, when we've sat in the various meetings or presentations anywhere, everybody calls it the graying of the fleet. This time when I was down there, I've gone down for many years, but there were so many new, younger people who had no idea what some of the options and opportunities we have in our region, and them finding out what they needed to bring for the coming season, whether it was cod and pollock or halibut or salmon this next year, to finding out, stopping and asking here and there, oh, that's there, okay, I will need to do that. We've got a lot of young or different people who haven't been in the fisheries in the region, so I still think it's very important.
Okay, thank you. We have our marching orders. Any other comments before we move on? Okay. So the next one is also one I put on here. Financial support for concerned area fishermen for the 2019 Alaska Board of Fisheries meeting. I was approached by concerned area asking for financial support to help fund bringing up their attorney and their folks. This year, concerned area is working hand in hand with the local communities, and they've formed a fish group, which is made up of drifters, set netters, seiners. I think there's processors involved. Everybody's hired staff is involved in this from all the different entities. The borough has provided some funding for the Seiners Association to help with the professional part of their meeting, bringing their folks up. So with the addition of Concerned Area M into this fisheries group, and they're working hard along with the rest of the groups, I had requested $5,000 to be donated to Concerned Area M Fishermen's Fund to help them out. And during the work session, I didn't have any opposition from any of the assembly. And so with that, are there any more assembly comments at this time?
Mayor?
Paul?
Do you need a motion on this particular item?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'll just, since there's no opposition to it, I'll just take it as a directive to go ahead and do it. That's okay. All right.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, it's Tom in False Pass. I talked to the city mayor. She said that, you know, False Pass maybe would come up with a little donation to the organization also. So just for informational purposes. Thank you.
Okay, Tom. That's great. Thanks. Any other comments?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Ward here. Can you go?
Hey, Ward.
Yeah, I'm in full support of your $5,000 donation there. I know that Concerned Area M got a lot of good number guys that work in their room there, and they got a treasure trove of information and statistics that we need when we're bringing up an issue for our season, different things. So I'd definitely be in support of that money over.
Okay. Thank you. With that, the next item that we have on the agenda is was added on is the borough's amount of funds that they spend and the people that we're looking at taking out. This, we went through this quite a bit at the workshop, and from my view of what took place, basically was that the borough, because of the amount of fisheries that really are on the line at this February meeting, that the assembly, what I got from the assembly is basically we know how much funds that we have budgeted under our fisheries line item, but I kind of got the impression that the borough, we need to spend, you know, what's required to help get us through this this meeting and work with other groups to figure out how many people that we need to take out. And I think there might be some cross work done, like maybe some groups would be able to pay persons and, you know, maybe per diem, and some pay tickets, or borough pay both tickets and per diem for some. So those are my remarks. I'll just kind of open it up to the assembly. Ingrid?
I would just say, you know,
Mr. Mayor, Warren here.
Hang on, Warren.
It's a high priority, and I believe the more that we can send that are going to testify and
get our people to come up with good numbers.
I know we mentioned in the work group that there was about 41,000 budgeted, and I know it was mentioned that the tribe had kind of estimated about 3,700 per person, which works up to about 11 people. But I'd say I would really want you to look at what was needed, and also that butts up against swamp sea, so some of those people may be going out anyway for that purpose right before that, to just kind of keep that in mind and work with getting as many people as we can that are going to represent us and stand up for the fishery.
And I think, too, from the assembly, I think assembly members that also want to attend should go ahead and contact, email Tina at the clerk's office to let her know.
Glenn Reed, the bullet, Reed, they can't come anymore.
So, with that, Warren. Warren, did you have a comment?
Are you hear me now? Oh, see, I just want to reiterate what Ingrid said. Get more local people out there if we can, because that's what it takes. I know in our last fisheries meeting that Ed felt he's an ex-board member, and he said you got to have more families there. So whatever way we can persuade him there, we got to go in that direction too, besides having all the experts and scientists and lawyers there. Thanks.
Yeah, no, I think it's really good that we have the experts to help us not only form the reports that people are going to do to the board, but, you know, when it comes right down to it, you actually need the fishermen, the people that participate in the fisheries, to do a lot of the testimonies, because they're the ones that are capable of answering questions from the board. So I think that's really important. Glenn?
Mayor, can I make a comment? And this has been brought up a couple times, too. I think it's important. I don't know what's happening and if it can happen. It's brought up about the steering committee about if people are fishing. A lot of our fishermen that are the good speakers that deal with people are usually out on the fishing ground. If there's some way, if the borough or whomever may be able to talk to the canneries and the fishermen, they all agree maybe to do a stand down or something at that portion so they could attend those meetings. And I've heard that out there. I just wanted to say it again, and hopefully that doesn't fall away by the wayside.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. Actually, in the I think the fishermen that are involved in those fisheries at that time are looking at the quotas and when the seasons are starting and stopping, and I think they have been talking to the processors, so I've been kind of listening to them as they give their presentation. So we'll keep following.
Yeah.
Are there any other comments?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor.
Paul?
I'd just like to echo Assembly Member Cumberledge's comments, and the more people, the merrier. Thank you.
Okay, well, we're going to be a merry one. Okay.
Mayor Osterbeck? Yes. This is Annie. Logan, did you have anything else you'd like to add?
He's sitting right alongside of me. He's posting me with a pen for 5 minutes.
I just wanted to the idea of sending fishermen to be a teenager to testify, just because I think that'll be really influential on all parts, because that's the future.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And actually, I've heard that throughout all the talks that we've been having so far, and hopefully, you know, it'd be nice if we can get one from each of the fishing communities to attend. So, something else we have to work on. Thank you. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I missed that comment. Couldn't hear him here. What was that?
I'll have to tell you again.
I was just thinking about possibly sending some young fishermen, such as teenagers, to the meetings just to testify on Bo's behalf, just because I think it'll be really influential on our part.
Okay, you catch it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
So
thank
if
you.
We, you know, and if, thanks. And if we do that, you know, we'll have to make sure that whichever ones go, that either they're accompanied by a parent or they'll have to have some type of supervision. But we can work on that. Any other comments? Okay. So the other item that was added to new business was the new state ferry discussion, which pertains to the ferry's ability to match the docks in the area. Tom, you want to talk on this? Tom?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, I say I don't know when that state ferry is, you know, going to be out, coming out this way, but I just wanted to get it in there that, you know, we're prepared to land that ferry when it gets here, and I don't know what we need to do that.
Okay, thank you. And I believe Ernie is on the committee for the Marine Highway System. Ernie, you want to talk on this?
Well, I can tell you they haven't started building that new ferry, but I am on the MTAB, Marine Transportation Advisory Board, and this is the big project that we're tracking, and I will certainly follow this issue as far as all of our communities being able to land that ferry. But I appreciate the comment, Tom, and I will pay extra close attention as it goes forward.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, are there any other comments on this issue, Paul?
Well, just what I've been reading lately with the government shutdown, the waiver that the state's been asking for about the Buy America Act, that the Department of Commerce has to approve the waiver before they go to bid, apparently that's held up too. A little bit. So hopefully that'll progress. And the other thing I think that's everybody read about is that $30 million extra they need for the two-day boat because they don't have the staterooms that they were for the crew that they were supposed to have, or the door to offload vehicles on the side. And they have to include that. So things are a little up in the air with the ferry system, and hopefully we'll all get a new ferry pretty soon before a testimony dies. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Anyone else? Okay. With that, we are down to reports and updates. Annie.
Yes, Mayor Osher, back in Assembly. In your packet is my report, but just a few things. The EAS for Accutan has not been signed yet due to the federal government shutdown, but I was told earlier by the employees that are currently working unpaid, they're volunteering their services at the EAS department, that this agreement will be signed as soon as possible and they should retroact it to January 1, 2019. With this agreement, the borough will be responsible for paying 50% of the helicopter operations. Mary and I have been working really hard with the city of Actan, with Maritime, on transferring everything that's involved. There's about 13, 14 things, but in those things, there's a bunch of things that we have to do to make sure that this gets transferred over. But Maritime's okay with the helicopter services agreement that we've negotiated, but we're just waiting for the federal government to sign their portion, and then we'll hopefully finalize this transfer. So we are working on that as fast as we can, but with the government shut down, just like some other projects that were mentioned today, we're just kind of held up at the moment. strategic initiatives. I mean, you all know we had a great session in December. I want to thank everyone again for attending and putting all the time and effort into it that they did. We were going to meet with PGS, or we are going to meet with PGS this month to finalize the strategic plan, and we hope to have that before you at the February meeting. We've all started working on our quarter four initiatives for this current planning cycle. Yesterday, I actually did a lot with initiating the Nelson Lagoon Dock Repair Project by contacting an engineer to get a quote, the Cold Bay Dock Feasibility Study, and the False Pass Harbor House Design. Nikki, if you're on, I would love to chat with you about that when you have a chance. And I've also worked on a few other items for that. The other item that isn't on here is that on Monday I sent the community budget request forms out to all the communities. So every single city in the Village of Nelson Lagoon should have received those budget request forms, and that they are due back on March 15th to us. So if there's any questions, please let me know.
Annie, this is Chris. I've got a question. On that strategic planning thing that we did in December, is that something that's still going to be a yearly thing? Are we doing that again next year? I mean, or I should say this coming December?
We haven't. I mean, I believe, yes, we would like to do it one more year, but we haven't gotten that far with discussing with the mayor and PGS if it's necessary or not. But I will let you know.
If it is necessary, can we see about not having it in December? That was kind of a really bad time, especially for some of us to get back. I think it took me almost an extra week just to get home, and being that close to Christmas and stuff, I'd like to see if we could schedule it at a different time if we do need another one.
That sounds great. I am looking to that.
Okay. Any other questions for Annie on her report and update? If not, Mary?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly. Hello from Sandpoint. Charlotte and I arrived here yesterday, and we'll be here the remainder of this week, probably through the weekend, and then hopefully going to Accutan on Monday. So my report is in your packet for your review. It's been a pretty busy month with the holidays, but I wanted to give just a brief update on some of the things I've been working on for the strategic plan. So first, they have the Accutan Harbor, still working on the core requirements. However, I did actually get the Harbor Operations and Development Plan back from the city this week. So once they finalize that, once we have our review of that, then that will be sent to the core, and we'll be able to fill in a bubble, which is really exciting. After that, I'll be working with the city to update either our Marine Facilities Management Handbook or submitting a harbor management plan that the city will draft for us to the Corps, so that will take care of another one of our bubbles on that tract, and at that point we'll pretty much be done with that whole entire tract, so that will be great. In addition, the city also provided us this past, I guess, week or two ago with the 65% drawings for its harbor utility project, and in submitting that, that was part of the harbor management agreement requirements that they are they're required to do for us. So we actually have Dow looking at that right now for us. If we have any comments or suggestions to the city, we'll provide those to them. But yeah, that project is also moving forward. I've been in close contact with the city about that. And I'm excited to meet with them next week when we go out there to see any sort of updates or get any sort of any other updates on that project. So looking forward to that. Nelson Lagoon School renovations. I actually received the final condition assessment report from Dow. Annie and I met with them about the draft, and then they submitted the final report to me today, actually. So probably when I get back to Anchorage, I'll submit that to the Nelson Lagoon Tribal Council, and that whole entire tract will be completed. Cold Bay Clinic, as you know, the Assembly just approved the resolution for the LCG Landtech Inc. contract. And just to reiterate, that's really just for code changes. There likely won't be any major design changes at this point. We're really just looking at code stuff, fire stuff, electrical stuff, anything like that. So after that, my plan is to make the changes and then move forward with the construction cost estimate. So we are really moving forward, and a lot of the stuff will actually be on our next strategic planning year starting in March. So moving forward with that pretty quickly. And then, as Annie mentioned, we'll be meeting with PGS, likely the week that I come back or the week after, to continue with our strategic plan for next year. So, any questions on that so far? Okay, great. So moving on to helicopter operations, the numbers through December have actually changed a little bit since I submitted my report. So the new numbers for December, the helicopter transported 274 passengers, 12,129 pounds of mail and freight, and flew two charters carrying 49 passengers. And as Annie mentioned, I'm assisting with the helicopter operation transition with Maritime. It's a lot of administrative background work, but we're working as quick as we can. So whenever the federal government opens, we'll start initiating all of that with Maritime, which is really exciting. And then there was a question last meeting about how much we still are owed for helicopter tickets. So for FY19, we still are owed about $83,000 worth of tickets. Also, some freight bills, I think, are included in that as well. A majority of that is actually Trident. They're one of our biggest customers for the helicopter, and that's for pretty recent invoices that I'm sure they just haven't gotten around to paying yet since they are pretty big. So once they pay those, we'll be caught up for the most part for FY19. There are still quite a few personal passengers that we still need to collect on. Our goal is to get most of FY19 taken care of and then possibly do following or the past fiscal year. So FY19 will be our priority. After that, if we have a good luck in collecting, we can collect prior fiscal year. So that's where we're at. Does anyone have any questions on that? Okay, wonderful. Other items, I just included some of my travel. Of course, I'm in Sandpoint. I'll be going to Akutan next week, hopefully. And then I do plan on attending the Juno meetings on behalf of the borough the following week. So thanks. That's it. That's your questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Quick one, Mr. Mayor. What were the Juno meetings for on behalf of the borough?
We're meeting with Mark Hickey, talking about projects. It's kind of just the borough's meet and greet meeting that we do every year. So,
okay.
Happy to attend.
Okay. With that, okay. Thank you. And Laura, you're up next.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and members of the Assembly. I'm in the final stages of finishing up work on the AEB annual report, and it's going to include information on borough projects, borough participation, plans for projects, and funds spent, as well as building assessments. There's quite a bit of information there that I've been able to dig through assembly packets, reports, past newsletters, presentations at the planning work session, et cetera. I still need to get some information from Annie and Roxanne about several of the projects and funds expended. As soon as I have that, I know everyone's very busy, I'll be able to send a more finalized draft to Annie and to the mayor for review, and we can go from there. I'm also working on another edition of In the Loop, which will summarize what happened at the planning work session. Of course, assembly members who went and staff, et cetera, were all there and know what happened. But for those that were not able to make it out to Anchorage, this will provide a summary of some of those presentations. On a different topic, I sent out some surveys to the communities about the telecommunications services out in the communities and asked folks to rate their level of satisfaction or dissatisfaction. Last time I looked, there were about 45 responses that we've received. It might be a little higher than that since. Just to give you an example, for example, in Sandpoint, their particular survey, about 50% of the respondents said that they're very dissatisfied with GCI Internet. About 62% said they're very dissatisfied with TelAlaska's cell service. And then in Cold Bay, for example, about 75% of respondents are very dissatisfied with GCI's Internet. About 40% are dissatisfied with GCI's cell phone service, and another 40% are very dissatisfied. So this just kind of gives you an idea of what I was after. There's also sections in there to provide more specific comments if people are wanting to do that. The survey itself takes about 5 minutes or less, so if there's anyone out there that still wants to participate in that, you can look on AEB's Facebook page and find the link for each particular community. Just some miscellaneous items. During the last fish meeting work group we had, or the one before it, I should say, there were some fishermen who requested that we add on a couple days on the front end for our reserved meeting space, or war room, as Ernie calls it, at the Sheraton. And we were able to do that, so we also now have February 19th and 20th added on to the front end. So that should help with fishermen who are coming out and wanting to meet early. And also, I mentioned this during this workshop, I mentioned this, but just wanted to reiterate for those who may be listening on the radio who didn't hear this before, those who are traveling out, who are planning to testify, et cetera, there's a special rate being offered at the Sheraton if you mention the Aleutians Eastboro name, $100 for a standard room per night and $150 for a junior suite. So worth mentioning the borough's name. It's a good rate. One other thing I wanted to mention is that on our website, I added some of the PowerPoint presentations from the recent AEB planning work session that occurred last month. So if you go to the information tab, then go to the sub-tab of AEB strategic plan, and then there's another sub-tab for 2018, you'll be able to find those PowerPoint presentations for anyone who is interested in looking at that in more detail. I also met with Kasia Whiteman, EAT CEO, as well as Dr. Janina Kohler and Dr. Shonda Losi, to get more details about the medevacs that come out of King Cove periodically. That's something that the Alaska delegation, their staff members, from time to time contact me and ask, what are the latest numbers? So they like to have that and some of the details associated with that, and often Senator Murkowski or Young or Sullivan will bring up some of the anecdotal information about the medevacs, the time that people had to wait in order to get out of the community, especially during severe weather. So that's something else that I periodically work on. So that about sums it up. And if I have any questions, please let me know.
Laurie, this is Chris.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This is Chris.
Yes, Chris.
I really was happy with this communications survey that you put out. I'm a little disappointed with the return. Not that many people doing it, but is this something that you're going to get all compiled and present to GCI and tell Alaska, just to kind of show them some of the concerns that we have out here?
Yes, that is something that I intend to do and would like to do, because not only have they heard it from residents, directly from time to time as things occur, but I think it's important that this is a little bit more formalized and they'll get specific comments. Hopefully it'll be helpful. And as we move forward, I'm hopeful, too, that we can have folks like Dave Goggins, I believe it is, with Telalaska, and Dan Boyette from time to time come to the assembly and maybe give updates. So in answer to your question, yes, I hope to provide that to them.
Okay. And I have one more question, too. I know the new CEO of EATS couldn't be at our strategic planning meeting. She had prior other engagements, and I know Edgar Smith was there and kind of represented it, kind of what's going on with EATS. But it sure would be nice if we could have the new CEO come to one of our upcoming assembly meetings and at least talk to the assembly. We're putting a lot of money and a lot of time into this new clinic, and it would be nice if she could introduce herself to the rest of the borough assembly members. So thank you.
And Annie just took note of that, so that's in the plans. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. And if you guys get a chance, don't forget to fill out the satisfied report. With that, Ernie, Jeff, next.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My report's also in the packet. If you have it electronically, there's a few links. I listed the boards and committees that I participate on, and I think it's important that somebody's on in the borough is at least go to these meetings. If we're going to these meetings anyway, if you have a seat at the table, you're able to get the information better, and we have a voice. And so I've been on the North Pacific Council Advisory Panel for a long time, and will term out in a couple years. Currently the chair, but we have elections in February. They are having the February meeting in Portland. Despite the government shutdown, it may be abbreviated, I hear, but they are going to have it. If the mayor told me to quit all the boards except one, I would stay on the Marine Transportation Advisory Board because that Tustamina replacement issue is so important to us. Just got on that. And then there's others. The Bristol Bay Advisory Group, who knows if that one will go forward with the new administration. I haven't heard anything. Some of the staff was asked to resign, and so I'm not sure that's going anywhere. And I'm on the Anchorage Fish and Game Advisory Committee on my own. I got on it before the 2016 Board of Fish meeting just to make sure they don't pull any wowers, but they're not really interested in our area, and I'm going to be resigning this year after the Board of Fish meeting. Grants, I've listed those, and at the last meeting there was some interest in seeing the proposals, and there are links in the electronic version to the two NIFWIF grants. If there's further questions on the grants, I'll defer them to Charlotte since she's closer to the action and she's very excited about grants. Contracts, of course, we have Eric Volk working with us through April, and in December we contracted with Kate Reedy to put together a socioeconomic study on the salmon. And then we have a contract as well with McClintock to do Sandy Rivers. It's a bit more than the other one. Board of Fish. Everything is about Board of Fish, and the work group that was formed after the last assembly meeting is going well. We'll be meeting next week again, 17th at 1 p.m. Alaska time. Appreciate Emil's participation and Mayor and everybody who's been participated on that. False Pass AC had a meeting, and they went through the proposals. Sandpoint is going to be having a meeting on the 15th. The board is actually meeting at the Sheraton next week. Good time if anybody's in town to go have some FaceTime with the board. And then on one of the middle days on the 16th, on the evening, they'll be meeting to talk to the one applicant for commissioner, Doug Vincent Lang. So there's that going on. We had our winter fisheries meeting. The government shutdown hasn't really affected our fisheries. Scale inspectors are not able to do scale inspections, and observers, once they make their trip, they're not able to get their debriefing. If they don't get debriefed, they're not able to come out. So unless the shutdown comes to a conclusion, there's going to be buildup of some problems. The NIMS people aren't really able to work. So with that, I would take any questions. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Ernie. Any questions for Ernie? Okay. Thank you. And we have Charlotte.
Okay, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. So as you guys may have known, I was out of town for a little bit last month, so my report is a little more brief. As far as Board of Fish, I sort of assist in every way that I can. We recently assisted in putting together this work group, which it seems like is going really well, and we've got a lot of participation. So I help with that as much as I can and try and listen on the calls. Additionally, I try to meet with the fishermen and community members as needed. I was able to sit in part of the Sanders Association meeting and answer a few questions there regarding WASIP and AEB activities. And I had the chance to meet with Mayor Glenn Gardner and the Administrator Jordan Keeler yesterday here in Sandpoint, and we spoke a little bit about Board of Fish and about kind of how we want to deal with testimony. And I have a few of my own action items that I'll try and have prepared for this upcoming fishermen's meeting for everyone. And then in addition to that, I'm just doing research and preparing my own testimony, which will probably be regarding the more scientific aspects. So for projects, as you guys know, I'm out here in Sandpoint with Mary. The EM guys are out here from Saltwater, so I've been able to meet with them, and I'm hoping either tonight or tomorrow we'll be able to coordinate a meeting with one of the local residents here who may be an on-call tech for Saltwater, so I'm going to try and facilitate that one here. for kelp mariculture, the reason I came here was to do siting. I've been commandeering the Sandpoint office to build my underwater ROV that I'm using to do benthic surveys for the kelp, which I'm hoping will later be used to do actual operations monitoring for, like, biofouling and things like that. I will be going out on the boat tomorrow to try and do some scouting of sites and do some water sampling, and so I'll have the results of that to you guys hopefully by next month. And then if all goes as planned, Mary and I will go to Accutane on Monday, and I will do my sampling out there with Dimitri. And then also, if possible, I will try and be back to Sandpoint on the charter on Tuesday and hopefully attend the Sandpoint AC meeting. So for the marine debris project, I'm meeting with NRC consultants, and we'll be discussing putting together a proposal for the upcoming NIFWIF Fishing for Energy grant. But no new news there, really. I'm on the Alaska Ocean Cluster Kelp Committee. I'm going to try and avoid joining as many committees as Ernie, but I do attend that one. It's monthly, and it's just a bunch of stakeholders who are interested in progressing kelp mariculture in Alaska. We talk about current projects and things that people are willing to fund to advance the industry. I will be planning on attending that January 16th joint board meeting for the announcement of the commissioner, so I plan on going to that. And then also the Marine Science Symposium and the Alaska Marine Debris Workshop are coming up, so I'll be attending those as well. Other than that, you know, I'm really excited about the strategic planning session and things to come when that rolls out in February. And Eric Volk has offered to introduce me to the ADFG staff out here who work with a lot of the salmon data, and I'm hoping, if nothing else, to build some relationships there, you know, preemptively for upcoming needs, if not directly for this Board of Fish meeting. So if you guys have any questions, I'm happy to answer those. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Paul? One former resident of Sandpoint has got a kelp permit in Kodiak and is going to grow sugar kelp, and Tina knows all about that, but anyway, if you don't know who that is, Tina. Yeah.
I think I heard Tina talking about it, yeah. So that's one of the species we might be looking at, too. So.
Any other questions for Charlotte?
I just have to ask, how are you going to get into Accutane one day and back to Sandpoint the next?
Miracle.
That is a great question. This is all, yeah, hypothetically speaking. If the charter comes back, then I will try and be on it. But yeah, or if it even gets there in the first place. So this could all, all of this is tentative, as I'm sure you guys all know. None of this may happen.
Kite, you're blown.
Sorry, I couldn't.
Yeah, it would be a miracle.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you for your time. And you're right, she took up half the office with fires and soldering irons and what happened here when I got here this morning. With that, Emil, your report.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And we're starting off with another big bang for this year. Getting going. Attended the planning session out there in Anchorage here in December, and it was my first one. Got a lot of information about it, and everything that the borough is doing is a great thing to see. And now I can kind of, you know, with questions that we have on certain projects, to be able to go to the people that head those, and they have the better answers for that particular projects we have. And this year and shoveling snow. Been, you know, for the last month, it's just been a lot of snow come down, and shoveling snow, getting, you know, trying to keep everything cleared out. Of course, can't keep up on a lot of it, and then it just turns to ice, and then it's just a really big pain in the butt. And working on contract, I was working on contractor time frame with coming in, with, and now I've got tentative dates. Looks like they're going to be coming in on the 4th of February, be here for 2 weeks. Got bearing industrial contractors coming in first, Long and Hired AK will be coming in after them, and it'll be nice to have all three companies here at the same time, so hopefully we can get this tackled up, you know, all together without having to wait on other contractors to come in on that situations. And during that one storm that we had here in December, and as part of the roof trim and stuff blew off of the roof here in the Sandpoint, and it was nice to, I mean, that I was actually here for that so I could be able to put it on in between, or like right after the rain stopped, I got to get up there and repair that, and then just after I got done, then another system came in, so it was really nice to get that done and taken care of, and I'm sitting in on the fishermen's meetings, trying to get as much information for that, of course, as possible, and trying to see, you know, kind of where I can help if need be anywhere else. But anything other than that, we're going to Accutan, like Charlotte said, and Mary, Monday, and hopefully do a quick turnaround and then come back Tuesday. We'll see, weather permitting. But just keeping track of everything going on. I've also got in your packet there a list of all the work orders and stuff for the schools that I've been working on and everything. You can kind of see what work orders have been coming in and not. And, of course, November and December seem to be my biggest month of things remaining yet to do. I have the maintenance person in King Cove, maintenance person here in Sandpoint, and maintenance person, a part-time maintenance person in Falls Pass working on these work orders. But as you could see that, I mean, we had Christmas break and the new year and everything where they were out of school so that, you know, some of those work orders didn't get completed as well, but we'll catch up to them. And other than that, I have just been working. So any questions?
Okay, thank you, Emil. Any questions for Emil?
All of us. We're all going to be stuck.
Okay, so that's all of the staff reports. And in your packet, there's a fairly long report from Brad Gilman back in Washington, D.C., who's our lobbyist. And so there's some real good information in there. Probably one of the things last year when we went to D.C., we had taken back some opposition to America's Finest, the processor, Kitcher processor that was built in Anacortes, unless there were certain waivers put in. So they did approve. They gave them the waivers to the Jones Act, so they got their endorsement. But what was asked for from this area, basically, it's an Amendment 80 vessel, but it became subject to sideboards for the Bering Sea and the Gulf of Alaska for 6 years. And that's kind of what was asked for out here in this part of the world. So that did get put in place. The ship got their okay. The shipyard in Anacortes didn't have to go bankrupt. There's a lot of other stuff in there. There's some things on the Tuscumina replacement, and I think that was already covered by Ernie on the delays and what have you. But anyway, that's something else you may want to go through. That's in your packet. So with that, we're down to assembly comment.
Hey,
Just on Mr. Gilman's report, we talked about this in the December planning meeting, and I just want to reiterate, I hope that staff is looking at the possibility of earmarks becoming available on some of those major projects that we have there out there on the planning list and developing good arguments, because we have been successful in the past, and if earmarks really do come to be, I would hope that we would be actively seeking support for this project. To Sandpoint Boat Harbor and some of the other projects that we have as high priorities, that we would be putting together packets and for those things through that avenue.
Yes. I don't think you have anything to worry about there. I think we understand the importance of earmarks, and as they quit arguing back and forth with one another back there and they get things put together. And I think it's coming out of the Democratic side that they want to put them back in. But Gilman is very aware of it. Gilman's been the borough lobbyist. Actually, we were his very first client when he started his business. So he's been with the borough for 30 years. And we've been through all of those times in the past. And Annie is very aware of it. And the people that we work with in D.C. are. So that's something that everyone's looking forward to. And that's the way we got a lot of our projects done in the past, was to do that right up front. Any other comments, Assembly?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. One quick one. The Swampsea meeting coming up on the 27th, 28th of February. I think it's going to be pretty good. And I know Glenn's here. He's on the board also. And be a lot of information about automated seafood processing and other usual things, including maybe the new governor will show up. Maybe. hopefully. And so I'd encourage everybody who, from any entity that's listening, to try to schedule that into their life. And I think it'd be worthwhile. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Yeah, Warren here.
Go ahead, Warren.
I just want to make a comment on the listeners out there that the Fish Board takes written comments, too, for the testimony from anybody who can't make it to the meeting. So if they have some concerns about the fishery and stuff, they could write it in a letter, and it'll be given to the Fish Board members.
Yes, thank you for reminding us on that, Warren. And, you know, even if you're going to go out there and testify, you could still submit written comments also. And, you know, and that would be for the record. So that's, either way, it's not a bad idea. The more we get, the better off we are. Anyone else? No? Okay. Thank you, Assembly. Public comment. Glenn.
I have one, Mayor, Assembly. I just want to thank you guys for your support for the 1936 resolution, and we'll get that dock thing moving. So, again, thank you guys.
You bet. Appreciate it. Any other public out there?
Mr. Mayor, Henry over here.
Hi, Henry.
Hey, Alvin. Merry Happy New Year to everybody out there. So just a report on a few things that's been going on over here in King Cove. We just finished up putting zincs on our ferry dock and our bulkhead dock. So we got 30 more years of life on those two docks. So we have a lot of extra zincs, 75 zincs. They're 150 pounds. So when the borough needs some zincs, we got some zincs for any of the communities there. So give us a call. And we've been preparing for some extensive repairs on our hydro. We had three gentlemen, our crew here, rebuild our pad for our travel lift, and should be back in operation here within a week. We had to shut it down for the cement to cure, and now we've got some cement work to do on our hydro. So I mention these things because these facilities been funded with the borough support, and always good to give you guys a report on infrastructure that you guys have supported. We appreciate that. Happy New Year.
Okay, Beth, thanks for the report, Henry. I know there was some talk here about maybe boats coming down this way if they needed to get hauled out while your travel is closed down. And we're happy to hear you're taking care of our investments up there. How about any other public comment? Tom, do you have anything over there in Falls Pass with the new? We're all curious about how far along everybody is on their processors over there.
I don't have a lot. There isn't anybody here for Trident right now, but the other day I think 60, 70 construction workers came in for Silver Bay, and they say they're going to be buying fish on the 10th of June. So that's our story.
The price.
Well, that's good. That's here. So. Yeah, okay. Well, I know everything over here is, I mean, even the season's open, but the boats aren't moving too fast yet. So I think there's two or three might be out starting to pot fish. I think as far as I know, there's only been one delivery pot boat, but that was out of the Chicknick area. They were in, with, I heard, 80,000 or something. Okay, if we don't have any more public comments, we are pretty much done. We're down to next meeting date, which will be the second Thursday of February. And what is that?
February 14th.
It's a good day.
Yeah. Aww,
oh, don't aw. So we'll all expect little Valentine's candy. Up.
It's good to get lots of chocolate.
Yeah. You heard that. Paul made a motion to adjourn, so everybody have a good time here until the next meeting comes up, and don't forget to send Tina some Valentine's chocolate.
5%.
So with that, we'll stand adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.